You say neither and I say neither.
You say either.
And I say either.
Potato, potato.
Tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 56 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Reza, and beside me we have Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Well, 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 what have we got lined up for today? Shall we start with some listener feedback? What do you reckon, Craig?
Before that, just let me say that this week we're going to speak about either and neither, parts of the body, and also, of course, our weekly wind-ups. Listener feedback. We have an email from Javier García Mourinho Espino, who says the following. I have really enjoyed reading your article about SMART goals in the May Cuaderno Mensual. He's speaking about the Cuaderno Mensual de la Mención del Inglés that you can find at mencioningles.com. Do you know what SMART goals are, Reza?
Yes, I think I do. I don't know if it's an acronym, but I know in general it means that you should break down your goals, your desires into small achievable parts, mm-hmm. and then build up to the big dream.
Exactly.
It's a very good idea.
That's part of it, exactly. And they also should be realistic. They should be time sensitive, etc. So if you want to find out more about that, go and read our article at mansioningles.com in the May newsletter, El Cuaderno Mensual. Javier says, this is precisely what I've been doing to learn and improve my English. In fact, I defined a 3-year plan at the beginning of 2013, and I am now in the last year of mastering the language. Congratulations,
well
Javier.
Done.
Well done. The main milestones... Milestones? What's that in Spanish? Milestone on the road. Escalón, yeah. I think it's all... A milestone on the road, en la carretera, is mojón or contador, a marca of distance. So, escalón, yeah.
A milestone, it's like a significant indicator of progress. Right?
Exactly. As you said, escalón. Yeah, exactly it. So he says that his milestones were B2, C1, C2. So he's mastering each level one every year. And that's why he says this article has been so curious and interesting for me. And I'm sharing my experience with you due to the excellent work you're doing on behalf of English learners. I hope you enjoy my story as much as I've enjoyed your article. Well, thank you, Javier. That's a very nice compliment.
Javier, because you got a high level, can we just make one subtle suggestion? I wouldn't say due to in what you just said. I'm sharing my experience with you because of. I wouldn't say due to the excellent work you're doing, because due to suggests that there's been a problem. Like accidents happen due to something, or games are cancelled due to bad weather. It's generally something negative. Better to use because of if it's for something more optimistic, right?
Yes. Our next piece of feedback is from Mariluth, and Mariluth says, I'm trying to improve my English by myself. I enjoy listening your podcasts.
Listening to?
Yeah, so every time we get this problem with two, remember, guys and girls, it's listening to. So listening to your podcasts, and I find them really useful for improving my listening skills. I've got some doubts about come back to or come back in Spain, or go back to or go back in Spain. Arrive in England or arrive to England? I've been to Paris or I've been in Paris. I'm really confused about that. And any time I have to say I have to go to anywhere, I don't know if I have to use in or to. Could you explain this to me?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them is easy for sure. The first one, come back to or Spain or go back to Spain. There's no doubt about that. In is wrong. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that, Craig?
Absolutely. Yeah. And also with go to a place, you go to a place in English and you go in in Spanish, don't you? If I, for example, if I say he estado en París, yeah, now I would translate as a Spanish speaker to I've been in Paris.
Okay. Yeah.
But actually, it's I've been to Paris because you go to places. Yeah. In English.
Although I think many people, many native speakers, do say been in Paris. It's not good English, but you do hear it. You do hear it, I think. Although I agree with you, to is the correct collocation. But I've heard plenty of native speakers say in.
So it's almost always to when you use I've been. It's usually to when it's a place. I've been to Rome. I've been to America. I haven't been to Italy. Mm-hmm. It's to with yeah. I've been.
Although some native speakers say in sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But two's better. But arrive. Ooh, now arrive's a tricky word, don't you think? Arrive. Generally speaking, it's arrive at a city, your destination, right? Sorry, arrive at a place, beg your pardon, your destination. But arrive in a city or country. That's what how I've learned it. So, for example, last night I arrived at my brother's house just in time for tea.
Mm-hmm.
Arrived at my brother's house. Or... tomorrow we're going to arrive at the beach.
So that's the preposition. That's the preposition arrive of place to arrive at the office, at home, to arrive at work.
The beach. Yeah.
Although, would you agree that you probably wouldn't use that verb? You'd use get. When I get home, when I get to the office, when I get to school.
Both. Yeah. Arrive's a bit more formal.
Arrive's
trickier because in correct English, although a lot of native speakers don't do it the correct way, it's arrive in a city or a country.
Mm-hmm.
What time does your flight arrive in Los Angeles? Not at.
Right.
Because it's a city. Or, oh, you're driving to France tomorrow. What time do you arrive in France?
Mm-hmm.
Not at.
Yeah.
In a city or a country.
At will be a definite...
At other things.
At will be a definite place, like at work or at the hotel.
Right.
But in would be the country or the city.
Country or city.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I teach my students. And get is always to.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Get to the beach, get to work, get to Paris, get to France. It's for all things, get to.
Another question that Mary Luth has is, I'm not sure either about the use of further and so far. I've listened some expressions, but I don't know how to use them. It would be I've heard some expressions, but I don't know how to use them. Further is the comparative of far. For example, Paris is far from Valencia, but Moscow is further or farther, which is the same, más lejos. So further, F-U-R-T-H-E-R, and farther, F-A-R-T-H-E-R, más lejos. Paris is far from Valencia, but Moscow is further. It also has the meaning of más a fondo. For example, I don't know the answer to your question. Let me investigate further. And so far, hasta ahora.
Yes.
Isn't it?
It's not comparative.
It's not a comparative. I've had, for example, I've had 3 cups of coffee so far today. How much have you drunk so far?
A lot. I don't know exactly. A lot so far.
Also,
up to this moment. Yeah.
Up to this moment, exactly. Hasta ahora.
Or up to this point in distance.
Hasta cierto punto.
Yeah. For example, I wanted to run a marathon of 25 miles, but I've done 10 miles and I have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone so far, but no further. So it can be for distance as well.
Exactly. You can cycle from Valencia to Moraida. But you can only go so far on a cycle path.
Right.
With a carril bici.
That's distance.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what carril bici is in Colombia?
You're talking about bicycle lane in English? How do they say it in Colombia?
Bicycle lane is ciclovía or ciclorruta in Colombia.
I like it.
Yeah.
Bicycle carril, lane or carril bici. Cycle lane.
Ciclovía, ciclorruta. Grammar. Let's move on to grammar. Either and neither.
Or either and neither.
Or either and neither. You say neither and I say neither.
You say either.
And I say either.
Potato,
tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. Either usually means there is a choice between two possibilities. So, Reza, you can have either vodka or whiskey.
I choose whiskey, Craig.
I know.
If it's scotch malt, yeah.
You know. Either we leave now or we miss the last train.
We've got to make a choice.
Exactly. One thing or the other thing. Now, neither often goes together with nor, N-O-R, neither nor, which is used in a negative way when you want to say that two or more things are not true. For example, neither Craig nor Reza speak Chinese. And neither can be used as an adverb. Reza can't speak Chinese, neither can I. Yo tampoco. Or I can't either.
Or Reza can't speak Chinese, nor can Craig.
Nor can also
be an adverb.
Exactly. Nor can I. I'd like to visit Mexico and Brazil. Either country could be interesting. Cualquier país podría ser interesante. Neither shirt really suits you. Ninguna camisa realmente te queda bien. Neither shirt really suits you.
When you say ninguna camisa, ninguna, neither shirt, how many shirts are you talking about?
Two.
Yeah, not three.
No. What would three be?
None.
None of the shirts suit you.
Because either and neither are only for a choice of two. If you have a choice of three or more, you must say all, todos, mm-hmm. and none, ningunos.
So what's the Spanish word for none? If I say none of the shirts,
ninguno.
If there are three shirts, ninguno.
Ninguno. Yeah. But confusingly, ninguno is also the word for neither. But the thing is, in English, we distinguish between a choice of two
and a choice of more than two.
Three or more, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Patreon, we'd like to remind you about our Patreon program this week, Reza. I think you can explain it.
Okay, so a lot of you have asked about getting transcripts for all of the episodes. Yes, that would be great. We think it's a brilliant idea. However, it's very time consuming. So Craig came up with the idea, the very good idea of paying for it through Patreon donations. So what's a Patreon donation? Well, if you go to www.patreon.com/inglespodcast, you will see our Patreon page where we suggest that if you like, you donate just $1 a month will be fine. And the reason we would like you to donate the money, if you can afford it, is precisely to pay for the transcriptions of every word we say in the episodes, on each individual episode. At the minute, Craig and I, neither of us has time to do it. Neither Craig nor I.
Neither Reza nor
time
I.
To do it. We would love to, but it's very time consuming. If we got $1 each from just 100 donors, people who donate, then we could pay someone to transcribe each episode.
Now, I know what you're thinking, listener. What if we don't reach 100, our goal of $100? Well, unfortunately, we won't be able to have the transcriptions written.
Oh, and what will we do with the money then?
We will keep it in a box, and when we get 100 euros, we will have the transcriptions for one month, for example. So we will put that money towards getting the transcriptions written.
Okay, so we'll store it up. So it doesn't necessarily have to be each month $100, although that would be ideal. But we will keep the money accumulating until we get our first $100, and then we will transcribe an episode, yeah?
Yep. No matter how long that takes. And we will have to pay tax on this money. So we will also be, obviously, we're honest people, so we're declaring the money for tax.
What a pity you said that, Craig. When I asked you the question, I was hoping your answer would be, well, if we don't get $100, but we have some money, then I'll be asking you, Reza, would you like either vodka or whiskey? And you already know my answer. But no, listeners, we won't do that. We'll save it for a transcription.
We would save it for transcription. Moving on to vocabulary, and this week, Reza, I thought we could speak about parts of the body.
Oh, great. I don't know. It depends just how much detail you're going to go into.
Well, everybody knows the obvious parts of the body. People listening to this podcast should know head, back, leg, arm, hand, etc. What about hombro? What's hombro in English?
Hombre, qué fácil. Hombre, hombro. I used to always confuse hombre and hombro in Spanish, but hombro is shoulder, not hombre, which is man.
When I was a child, I used to confuse shoulder and soldier.
Me too. So, yeah. Me too, actually. Yeah.
And I used to like scratch my soldier, and my mum used to correct me and say, no, Craig, it's shoulder. Hombro is shoulder.
And in my early days in Spain, trying to be cool, I thought, let's try and speak colloquial language, like the locals. And somebody would say something to me like, hey, ¿te apetece salir conmigo esta noche? Vamos a un bar. And I was to say, hombro, claro. Hombro. Shoulder.
Shoulder. Of course, shoulder.
Hombre, hombro, vaya, claro.
Cabeza, we said, was head. What about codo?
Elbow.
Elbow. ELB. OW. Espalda?
Back.
Very good. Puño?
Fist.
Corazón?
Like corazón. You, Craig, todo corazón, heart.
Corazón,
Craig, is all heart.
All heart. Hueso?
Bone.
B-O-N-E. Bone. So let's look at some idioms using these parts of the body. If I say, Reza, I'm heading for the supermarket.
Ah, heading. You are going in that direction.
Exactly. To head for, to go in the direction of. If I shoulder all the blame, what am I doing? To shoulder the blame.
To take all the responsibility, personally.
To accept the blame. Exactly. Do you know anyone, Reza, who's a bit tight-fisted?
Tight-fisted. I do, but they shall remain nameless.
Oh, go on. Who? Tell me. Somebody at work?
Yes.
I think I know who you mean.
But they shall remain nameless. Tight-fisted. So we said the word fist, so they keep their money tight in their fist, closed.
They don't open their hand. Their fist is tight, holding the money inside. They are mean, not generous, if they're tight-fisted. What about big-headed? What is a big-headed person?
A person who has a very high opinion of himself or herself.
Mm-hmm. Conceited, perhaps, self-important. Creído in Spanish?
Yeah.
Creído. What about two-faced?
Two-faced. A person who gives different images of him or herself depending on the occasion to manipulate the situation.
Yes.
They might pretend to be your friend, but actually they hate you. Or they might pretend that they're helping you, but actually they're trying to get you into trouble.
So they're very hypocritical. Falso. If a person's thick-skinned, skin is...
Piel.
Piel. Thick-skinned.
Piel gruesa.
Yeah, but they don't say that in Spanish, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Piel gruesa.
But it means that, like an elephant, which is a thick-skinned animal, physically... if you hit an elephant, it won't even feel it because its skin is so thick. So a thick-skinned person, if you try to insult them or hurt them or cause harm to them, they don't feel it. Their skin is thick.
So they're very insensitive to criticism.
Yep.
Very insensitive to criticism.
Hard to harm, hard to damage them psychologically.
I think if you are a personality these days, if you're famous, you have to be very thick-skinned if you get bad press or you get a bad... if you get insulted by the media, you have to be thick-skinned.
Craig, we'll have to remember that whenever we become Hollywood stars because of our podcast.
Yeah.
They'll be trying to find out... Craig and Reza have been spotted, you know, in Beverly Hills with this famous person. Is someone having an affair with them? What have they been doing? Oh, Reza's looking a bit fat these days. Is he eating too much? It won't bother us. We're thick-skinned.
And kodo, we said, was elbow. Yeah. So what are you doing, Reza, if you are elbowing your way through a crowd?
Mm-hmm. You're using your elbow or elbows, kodos, to make space for you to pass through.
Exactly.
So you're pushing people out of your way with your elbows.
So using the word elbow as a verb to elbow, to elbow your way through a crowd of people, to make room for yourself and push forward.
I think I know the Spanish. I want to show off.
What is it? Do you know, is it a Spanish
expression? I'm big-headed. Is it dar un codazo?
Is that what it is?
Yeah? I think so. To elbow is to dar un codazo.
Last night I went out to a restaurant and I had to foot the bill.
Ah, to foot the bill. You had to pay.
Yeah, to pay for everything.
You know what you could have done, Craig? You could have, if you didn't want to pay the money, you could have legged it.
I could have legged it, which means to run away fast, to run away quickly.
To leg it.
To leg it.
To run away quickly because you're in trouble or you've got to escape and get away.
We said that Espada is back, but I think we may have a sponsor to back our podcast.
Ah,
using back as a verb.
To support.
Exactly. Usually financially. So a backer, B-A-C-K-E-R, is a person who backs you. It's a person who supports you financially. I have a bone to pick with you.
Aha. That means...
Bone was hueso.
You have a difficult or problematic issue to talk about. Maybe you're upset or angry and you need to talk about something.
Yes. My boss gave me a pat on the back.
He congratulated you. He said, well done. He mm-hmm. praised you.
When we do this podcast, we have a free hand to speak about whatever we like.
A free hand. We can talk about anything. There are no limits, no restrictions.
No restrictions.
Our hands are free.
Mm-hmm. She went behind my back.
She did it without consulting you.
In secret. I can't understand computer code. It's way above my head.
It's way above my head. It's too complicated mm-hmm. for me to understand it.
It's beyond my comprehension. Mm-hmm. Learn these idioms by heart.
By heart. From memory.
You don't say por corazón in Spanish, do you?
No. From memory. De memoria.
De memoria.
From memory, but by heart.
Exactly. Learn these by heart. You're pulling my leg.
I'm pulling your leg, but I'm not touching his hair, which is what you Spanish people do. I'm making fun. I'm telling a joke, but he doesn't know it, or I'm making fun of him, and he's not quite sure if I'm serious. Tirar el pelo in Spanish, but mm-hmm. pull someone's leg in English.
I've got a sweet tooth.
Sorry. Oh, can I go back? Tirar el pelo? No, beg your pardon. Tomar el pelo.
Tomar el pelo.
Tomar el pelo.
Tomar el pelo.
Pull someone's leg.
I've got a sweet tooth.
You like sweet things. You like chocolate, cakes, etc. A sweet tooth. Now, Craig has more than one tooth. Although he doesn't have as many as he used to. Because he had one taken out recently. But he has more than one tooth. He has many teeth. But the expression is to have a sweet tooth.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Did I?
You took the words right out of my mouth. You said exactly what I was thinking or what I was about to say. Relax. Let your hair down for a change. To let your hair down.
Relax. Take it easy.
Take
Don't
it easy.
Don't be tense.
Chill. Chillax. Give me a hand.
Echarme una mano.
It's the same in Spanish.
Help me.
Okay, so some interesting body idioms. Moving on to our weekly wind-ups. Reza, what do you have this episode for things that annoy us, irritate, bother, fastidiar, disgustar and molestar?
People who speak audibly in cinemas when I'm watching a film.
Oh, I hate that. That really bothers me. People who also have their mobile phones on, so you're constantly receiving messages.
Yeah.
And you hear the alerts going beep, beep, beep every time a message comes in. Those and people who speak behind you and not even about the film. Yeah. It really, really bothers me.
Well, actually, I don't know what's worse, them speaking about other things or about the film. Sometimes them speaking about the film is even worse, in a way. I mean, speaking is bad in the cinema, but when you're watching the film and nobody knows who the murderer is, and some silly person behind you saying, I think the murderer is the butler because blah, blah, blah. And you think, just shut up. Let's find out who the murderer is. I really don't care about your opinion.
Exactly.
And the mobile phones. Listen, people, in my opinion, if you really need to be checking your mobile phone, don't go into the cinema. Stay outside. You shouldn't have gone in.
Absolutely. It really winds me up.
What about you, Craig? What's your own personal weekly wind-up?
My weekly wind-up? Websites with no contact information.
All right.
I've been trying to contact a website that we've spoken about called busuu.com, and there is one of those generic forms that you can complete with your email address, your name, and then you have a space for a few words, and you say, but there's no email address that you could write to somebody in person, that you can contact the people behind the website. And this isn't a small website of a shop in your street. It's a worldwide multi-million dollar company with no one to contact. And that really bothers me. It feels like there's nothing behind the business. There's no one there you can speak to. So then you start Googling, you start trying to find the person you can speak to, and that bothers me. It really does.
Do you think, Craig, in most cases, it's just an oversight, or do you think it's deliberate?
I think it could be an oversight. It could be deliberate to save money on paying staff. It also could be that the system was effective in the beginning when the company was small, and the company grows and they can't deal with so many emails coming in. They don't have enough people, so they need to scale the company. So I think it could be for various reasons. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm noticing that more and more, that I'd like to get in touch with somebody on the internet, and there's a website, there's information, but there's nobody to talk to. There's no one there. There's nobody at home. And that really bothers me. We have actually got some feedback from Elisa, who sent us a voice message, Reza. So I'll play Elisa's feedback, and she also has a weekly wind-up for us. So here's Elisa.
Hi, you, my English-Spanish teachers. Or should I say Spanglish? Actually, I had decided that I never send any voice messages because it's so odd and terrible to listen to your own voice. But anyway, here I am. Hope you are fine, are you? So the only reason why I'm doing this is that I have to and I want to say thank you. You guys are fantastic podcasters. It's unbelievable how you can mix humor and teaching so well that it's like a comedy show. The episodes are hilarious. Now, I definitely understand the saying, good sense of humor, really. Anyway, I wish you all the best. But before I'll stop, I want to tell you my wind-up today. I can't stand people who wear sunglasses indoor. So, sunny summer to you, Elisa.
What do you think, Reza? The Reza and Craig Comedy Hour? Do you think we have a comedy show?
Well, I can.
Do you think we have a future in comedy?
I hope so. Wouldn't it be great? For me, humor has always been a very important part of teaching and learning a language.
Me too.
Very, very important. Mm-hmm. Very important. I've always, as a student, learning Spanish and Valencian and other languages, I've always really enjoyed the classes of teachers who tried to use humor in the classroom. And I myself always try and get some humor into my class. What about you?
Exactly. I think if people are having fun in your lessons, if they're enjoying it and laughing, there's more chance they're going to learn. They're not falling asleep in the class, in the lesson. So, well, maybe we're the next Ricky Gervais or John Cleese.
Hollywood, here we come.
Thank you for that lovely compliment, Elisa. And what do you think about Elisa's wind-up about people who wear sunglasses inside?
Elisa, I more or less share your annoyance at these people, but I have a terrible confession to make.
You do it.
I have been a person who has done it. I say I have been, no longer. Let me tell you something about me, Elisa. A long time ago, I had to take a medication. I won't go into the details, but it made my eyes reactive to ultraviolet light. This is true. It was one of the side effects of the medication. So for a period of 24 hours after taking this medication, I had to wear protective eyewear, i.e. sunglasses or similar. I had to.
Did you teach it with sunglasses?
Luckily, it was at a time when I wasn't teaching. Very luckily. It was at a time when I can't remember exactly the details, but I didn't teach. But I was in Ireland at the time. It was winter in Ireland. The sun almost never appears. There I was, Lisa, at 6 o'clock in the evening, indoors, snowing, raining outside, completely grey, and I was wearing sunglasses.
Unbelievable.
And people thought, you dickhead, kitty boyas, is what they thought. And I understand why they felt that, but I had to protect my eyes. I felt so embarrassed. You're right, it's terrible.
If you have a weekly wind-up or any comment or question that you'd like to send to us, record your voice on our webpage at inglespodcast.com and send us a sound file. If you want to send us an email, you can write to us at craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to sign up for our email list at inglespodcast.com, and we'll send you an email every month with all the podcasts we've made and published. So until next episode, thank you very much to all of you for listening. It's goodbye from me.
Me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See.